Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to our third installment in our Anapsys Bright Talk series on ERP security. Topic today is shifting left, five reasons why you should extend DevSecOps to your SAP environment. I will be your guide for the next 20-ish minutes or so. My name is David DePrill. I'm the Vice President of Global Product Marketing here. Wealth of experience over the past few years. I own global product marketing over here, and I've worked at a number of small companies such as Dell EMC and RSA and Cisco. So happy for you to join us. If you haven't seen any of the other two sessions, they are still available on Bright Talk for on-demand viewing. I'll also post a QR code towards the end, which if you scan, you'll get directly to the series page. So today, here's what I'm going to dig into. We'll do a quick recap of what we talked about last time around, which is valuable for a DevSecOps conversation anyways. Then we'll dive directly into what is DevSecOps and talk a little bit more about some best practices there. And finally, I'll give you my five reasons why you should really consider extending DevSecOps when possible to your SAP development, which can be complex and challenging depending on how you're doing your development, which we'll dig into. But all the more reason why you need to really extend this sort of concept and set of best practices there. And then we'll give you a couple final thoughts, takeaways, and a QR code for the road. So last time around, we dug into vulnerability management and really why that's important. If you think about that piece of it, what we're talking about is how can you find a dynamic risk-driven approach to really take a look at what's in production, and ensuring that you are tackling the right vulnerabilities and threats that are popping up for your production systems whenever possible. Gartner generally recommended a risk-based vulnerability management process, included threat intelligence, and really it's a continuous process where when you think about that risk, it's dynamic, it's changing because vulnerabilities on a monthly, weekly, daily basis can change in their criticality based on other ones that come into play, this concept that we call vulnerability or attack chaining or exploit chaining. And so that's really why it's very, very important for that piece of it. Now, that's one half of this, and one might say, well, it would be great if we could not, or if we could stop introducing vulnerabilities into our production environment to begin with. And I would say, I have a topic for you. It's all about DevSecOps today. So what is DevSecOps? For those of you familiar with application development, this infinity in the middle should be pretty familiar. What you have is you have this continuous process. And the idea is that it's iterative, continuous, and builds upon every prior path. And so on the left-hand side, we have the development piece. And this is your part of the software engineering cycle where you're planning, you're doing the coding, you're actually building things, you're hopefully doing some testing, and hopefully doing some security testing along the way. And then you release it into production. The operations side is really where it's been deployed. We're seeing how it's working and we're monitoring it accordingly. Now, generally, when you think of DevOps, if we take the sec part of it out for a second, there's no real spot in that infinity loop for security. And what ended up happening is historically, people who were running a DevOps model realized they were kind of bolting on security towards the end as an afterthought. They weren't approaching their software development with that security mindset and building it into each of those different phases across the board. And that's when someone, I forget whom, came up with the brilliant idea of putting security right in the middle of all of this, and probably because there's no space in the infinity loop, just created another little shield around it. But the image still stands in the sense that what we're trying to do is infuse this concept of security into each one of the phases of your DevSecOps approach. And so that way your developers are approaching this with a security mindset. And then on the operations side, for example, the prior slide with vulnerability management, we're able to keep an eye on things and monitor in order to ensure that we're addressing any vulnerabilities that do happen to pop up. And that kind of pulls the whole thing together for us. We're going to concentrate a little bit on the concept of DevSecOps today and really a little bit more on the development piece of it and kind of moving it into ops, since the last time around we talked about vulnerabilities and threats in your production environment. today I want to talk a little bit more about the development, the QA part of it. Gardner says you should establish a culture of security and you should build this cultural value around the criticality of security in your software development. There are a lot of words over here on the left-hand side. It's worth noting and worth reading a little bit later, but the idea here is that there are two sides to DevSecOps. And what they're really getting at here is a best practice is, number one, you should be instilling a cultural mindset where you are approaching everything with the idea of security to begin with. So as you're planning, as you're actually executing and building code, you should be thinking about, am I doing the right things to ensure that my code is secure? And then the other piece of it is obviously what comes out into production. And when we come across vulnerabilities or threats, are we able to understand that? Are we able to respond appropriately? And quite frankly, is there a bi-directional set of communication between the development teams and the production teams, which quite frankly can historically be complicated or challenging, as frequently they're not really communicating appropriately. So what we really need to think about then is, how can we build security into the overarching process? And so I'm going to present to you five reasons why you should be extending this into your SAP development lifetime cycle. Number one, you have one critical landscape, and then you have hundreds of different developers, right? SAP, for example, is a very interesting beast in the sense that different business units, different development teams are creating code, building, constantly adding custom code to your ERP systems and your whole suite of business applications. Nobody really takes SAP and says, hey, I'm going to run this vanilla directly out of the box, because that's not what it's designed for. An old friend of mine said that what you do is you are building your competitive differentiation and advantage into your ERP systems. And that's exactly what your internal dev teams are doing. They are rapidly moving. They are probably very under-resourced, but they're adding code as fast as possible based on the needs of the business, because we know that pace is really accelerated. And the idea is every individual business unit need has their own little teams, and they're being represented, and new code is coming into your SAP base. On top of that, we have our larger digital transformation projects, these large initiatives. We are migrating to S/4HANA Private Cloud Edition. We are working with RISE with SAP. We are moving our legacy systems from ECC directly into S/4HANA. And so these larger initiatives with multiple teams are also working rapidly, because there are deadlines, there are milestones, and there are challenges that they have to face. And the idea here is to transform how the overall enterprise does business. They may or may not be communicating with those internal dev teams, which are still cranking out individual applications based on legacy and based on where things are going. Then finally, keep in mind that not all development is contained inside of your four walls. You partner with GSIs. You might have external contractors. These third parties are also adding new code into your production. So now you have your internal dev teams doing their changes. You have large digital transformation projects. You have your suppliers and your value chains and your contractors pulling code or pushing code directly into your landscape. It's a very complex system we have here. And arguably, many of these pieces are not communicating bidirectionally with each other. In fact, when you've actually interviewed developers, 86% of them said they actually don't view application security as a top priority. I don't think any of us should be surprised by this, because their focus is, I need to do the best thing for the business. I have a lot of projects. I need to get this out. I need to get this in so the business can continue operating. And that's that whole concept of bolting on security after the fact, instead of adopting that security mindset. Number two, as we think about this shift to the cloud and this accelerated pace of digital transformation, which I kind of highlighted on the prior slide, Anapsys looked at a large number of engagements we've had over the years. And on average, we're seeing roughly around 2 million different lines of custom code in one SAP system at any particular point in time. And you might have hundreds of SAP systems. So you can start doing the math and multiplying this particular piece out. We've also seen over the years a at least a 7% increase. I believe it's actually a lot higher at this point, where the number of different input sources that are being processed by custom applications. What I mean by this is how many different things are connecting to certain core applications, and thereby increasing your potential risk. So again, if I have a supplier from outside building custom applications that then connect into core critical systems, what we're seeing is these input sources are now communicating and connecting more broadly across the business, which aligns really well with this concept of digital transformation projects. Unfortunately, our analysis has also uncovered the fact that there are a large number of different vulnerabilities that are very, very prominent in the code that's being produced. So remember, the code developers aren't really focusing on security, and you're getting a lot of different vulns that are introduced into your production site, which then becomes a problem for operations. And now if you think of your operations teams, your InfoSec teams, how large are they? Are they able to handle this? There's a lot that's being put onto them. And we found that there's at least one critical compliance or security issue for every 1,000 lines of code. You've got about 2 million per system, one per 1,000 lines. You can start doing the math how you can multiply all of these out. Just one is all you need to bring down your SAP landscape. And what we're seeing here in the middle is a large number of vulnerabilities that are being introduced, most likely not maliciously. Good people sometimes may do dumb things or might take a shortcut or might reuse code because we're rapidly moving. Unfortunately, the occurrences of these vulnerabilities is pretty prominent across your landscape. And unfortunately, 67% from that same survey from the prior slide, the developers admitted that they routinely left known vulnerabilities and exploits in their code. Why? Well, again, no security mindset per se, but also there's a certain speed and pace at which they're being tracked at. They have to get things done. They have to get things out. They have to continue to crank out the production piece of it. That makes it extraordinarily challenging, right? So, you know, things to keep in mind. Number three, we need to shift left and we need to bend that curve of vulnerabilities. Instead of this exponential growth of vulnerabilities being introduced into production, what we need to do is somehow bend the curve so we don't get into the operation side of that infinity. What we get is we start shifting it left and putting more of the accountability on the earlier part of DevSecOps, aka that dev side. This is a report from, I think, JFrog or some Java developer, but essentially what they're saying is here's your ratio of what you have on development versus who might be in operations versus who might you have in security. And so you are very heavily weighted on the dev side and you are extraordinarily underweight on the security side. And if you think of that infinity circle again, there's the dev piece, there's the operations piece. Are you going to be able to catch all of those different vulnerabilities that are being introduced into your production environments? Chances are you're probably not. And as we've learned in our prior session, even minor or less critical vulnerabilities can potentially become worse as new vulnerabilities get introduced that create new avenues of ingress for threat actors who can be pretty clever and attack your systems. So my point here is really more, it becomes a necessity now for us to try to shift that burden away from that security and ops side where we're very under-resourced and try to put a little bit more on the dev side. And it's a lot because there's a lot of challenges there from a development piece of it, especially when you think of all those different pieces. But I would offer that it is extraordinarily important for you to fundamentally have this security mindset in development, because otherwise you're going to be introducing a lot of challenges that you're going to have to clean up a lot later. And then when we think about RISE and S/4HANA migrations, Computer Weekly did a survey and they said that 92% of orgs consider their existing customizations to be a problem as they chart their path to S/4HANA. Their customized code, all of the work that they've been doing, is a potential roadblock or a potential security issue for them as they think of migrating over. And again, it's because security hasn't been built into the process from the very beginning. Number four, the old Trojan horse over here. You need to avoid issues in your SAP transports that can have extraordinarily detrimental effects for your organization. These stats came from one of my prior sessions, but they're also extraordinarily relevant over here. SAP transports are really one way. You have your transport, you put it into production, you can't roll it back. What you need to do is then create a brand new transport, as I'm sure all of you are aware, and then re-upload that into production. So if you've got a dev team that's finished one project, you've detected something on this side that's a vulnerability or an error, or your system goes down because you've introduced a bad vuln into the system, that team that had already pivoted to working on the next project has to now go back, work with the QA team, figure out what went wrong, then try to build a new transport and then get that in. So you can see that there are potential high costs, not only from productivity, efficiency, downtime. As we know, if your ERP systems go down, it runs you over $50,000 per hour, $5 million average yearly cost for business disruption for many of these different things. And when we think about non-malicious things that can affect your SAP system, very frequently these security and business continuity errors that you saw on slide number one come to bear, and they're very prominent in what people are putting up into your production environment. So it's really important to make sure that what you're putting into production isn't flawed, because otherwise you're introducing the Trojan horse and all of those little attackers and bad code just kind of flows into the city at that point. And finally, number five, there's greater scrutiny than ever before. There's increased regulatory and compliance mandates. There's just more. You've probably felt it. Your internal audit team is probably a lot more active. You're seeing a lot more of that, especially if you're working in a critical infrastructure or critical industry, whether it's defined by CRITIS or CISA or whatever across the globe. If you're in a particular industry that either requires government compliance or has a stronger eye on it, what we're seeing now is that there's just more for you to have to deal with. And so when you think about migrating these systems and opening that path for these critical systems, what you're doing is you're introducing greater risk. Your audit, your auditors, the government, they're all going to really love that piece of it, right? Accenture says 32% of executives believe that security is not a part of that cloud discussion. We've already talked a little bit about the lack of a security mindset in your developers. Thomson Reuters said 74% of surveyed compliance executives actually expect an increase. So the level of compliance and regulatory work that you are doing currently today will only grow as time goes on. And again, why? It's because we're moving very rapidly as everything is getting connected, and we are building more into systems that is potentially flawed. And as we all become greater connected in this world, it creates issues for everybody. And so PwC notes that there's a concern about insider threats for employees and contractors. So while I said that maybe there are very good people who sometimes do dumb things in development, what you might also have is someone who may slide some code into your production system that says, every time the board meets, I want a copy of something sent to a particular email address and have that coded into notes. Or I want to get into my financial system and, I don't know, pull a Superman 2 or an Office Space and collect a penny here, collect a penny there, siphon some dollars off here and there. We don't have visibility into what's going into production because of everything that we're doing. And that's why there's a larger concern coming here from PwC. And IBM, of course, is just noting the fact that all those in our value chain that are connected in, they're saying at least 19 to 20% of their breaches are occurring because their business partners were compromised in some manner. So you can think of SolarWinds, you can think of Kaseya. Even going back a number of years to the Target breach, Target had great security, but what ended up causing the breach for them, it was bad security on the partner side. So that's yet another reason why it's really, really important to understand what's going into your production systems at any point. So how do we start actually shifting left here? Well, I'll offer there are three sort of things that you should really be thinking about. Number one, you really need that visibility into all of your risks. We've talked a little bit about this on the ops side. I would offer it stands true also for your dev side. So both of these teams need visibility in order to help correct issues. And that helps identify potential vulnerabilities in production for you. If you can find ways to automate, if you have a larger set of test cases that focus on security issues, that will make your teams that much more efficient and effective at what they're doing. Remember, you have millions of lines of code. You have people who are reusing code. They don't have a security mindset. Could we get your security person to hang over your shoulder, your, if you will, DevSecOps ChatGPT to help them out along the way? So the idea is, can we scan something and automate pieces that will help your teams keep pace with the rapid development cycles? This is a good investment. And then if you think about technology you can implement to effectively mitigate risk, remember, you don't want that Trojan horse from a transport perspective. So can we get better controls for transport? Can we create better processes, better technology to help with change management that will eliminate any of that extra, oh, I have to make a transport again work, right? Not only will that make your overall development time that much faster, but it will minimize risk the first time around instead of introducing new risks into your production environment. So this is where we can help. We do have a what I would call a better approach to SAP security. And you know, with SAP as your foundational piece here, we spoke before about the SAP vulnerability management piece of it, which is our assess product that wraps around it. That would be your ops piece of it, along with Defend, which does real-time threat and zero-day monitoring. We give you control, literally and figuratively here, with regards to our application security testing and transport control and change management capabilities to really help you infuse DevSecOps at that development piece of that infinity loop for you. And then we also help you with automated compliance and controls that are enriched with our threat intelligence from us over the past 13 years and well over 1,000 vulnerabilities and security test cases that we've seen. We feel that we're very well versed in the SAP and the InfoSec worlds and are able to help give you this extra guidance and insights that will help you be more successful in your development. And then, you know, hopefully that will lead to better results. We've seen this with some of our clients. It's possible that you can see these things too, especially 70% faster code reviews if you remove the manual component of things, right? One quick example here, we have a global chemical manufacturing company. They had challenges. Everything I've pretty much spoken about here, it was what they were living. They had manual, tedious code reviews. They couldn't implement changes without significant business impact. They didn't have that visibility. They partnered with us. They revamped a lot of their processes. They infused that security mindset into their developers. They got their app dev and their InfoSec teams working. They got their app dev teams talking to each other and aligned around consistency. And because they're using the right tools, they're able to automatically scan code much, much faster. And then they're able to help scan the transports before they go into production to ensure that they don't introduce that Trojan horse into their production systems. So, you know, results as you probably expect. They've been able to incorporate security much earlier into their cycle. They're able to scan the code. They've reduced their cost by 65%. This generally comes from, you know, the reduction of manual code reviews and the ability of not having to go back and do new transports every time you introduce something poorly into production. So I'll leave you with three big bullets here. Number one, if you're thinking about DevSecOps, if you're thinking about effective implementation of it, especially when you're considering migrating to S/4HANA Private Cloud Edition, participating in the RISE program, it would be extraordinarily helpful if you cleared the skeletons out of your closet and identified problems in your legacy systems and your custom code before you thought about migrating. Let's just get that all cleaned up. And that's where, you know, that's something you should be keeping in mind. Shifting left in general, it's a very sound business practice. As we think about how we're commonly resourced, very heavy on the dev side, a little bit lighter on the ops and security side, why are we not putting more accountability on the dev side to ensure that security is being built in before it becomes a larger problem? And now you can get a better balance with regards to how the entire organization is approaching security overall. And then remember, you know, AST, transport control, is just one part of DevSecOps. What you're really doing is you're creating this bi-directional support between all of these teams once your code is in production. And that means it doesn't stop. It's an infinity loop for a reason. You need to really adopt that security mindset and drive things forward accordingly. So this was our third of four sessions. Next week, I'm excited to sit down with Mariano Nunez and JP Perez Echegoyen, two of our founders, and we're going to have a little bit of a fireside chat to dig into some lessons learned from a decade plus, but I don't want to date myself, of business critical application security. If you'd like to see some of the former sessions, if you'd like to rewatch this session in case you missed something, please scan this QR code. It'll take you to the series page and you can sign up and watch everything. With that, thank you for your time. It's always greatly appreciated. And if there are any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Thank you. Thank you.